slip your hand up. We'll get one put in your hand so you can follow along with us and make sure that you follow along. It's good to follow along in God's Word. Proverbs chapter 2 this evening. Proverbs chapter 2. We haven't done Proverbs here in the sanctuary. It's been a few years since Pastor Joe went through the Proverbs. A lot of wisdom in Proverbs. Most of the Proverbs, a lot of them through Solomon, who was the wisest, apart from Jesus. He was the wisest man that God gave wisdom to. And so we're going to try to receive some godly wisdom this evening. And that's kind of the topic, if you look at the title, Seek Wisdom. And the topic is wisdom, but more precisely, godly wisdom. We want godly wisdom. We're going to see some words that stand out in this proverb a lot. Words are going to pop out. The word wisdom will pop out a lot, but also the word knowledge. And it's important to define those two. You know, knowledge is knowing what is right or knowing what is not right. Wisdom is doing what is right or doing what is not right according to the knowledge we have. You know, they say don't eat 50 candy bars in a day because you could have diabetes. So knowledge tells us that. Wisdom is not eating 50 candy bars in a day. So there's a difference, but they couple together. And we're going to see those words pop out quite a few times. And to know the difference between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. And we're going to get into that in a little bit. Because there are two types of wisdom available to all of us. And there is godly wisdom, which is what we want. But there's also worldly wisdom, and so we're going to look at those this evening. But before we do that, let's just bring our hearts to the Lord and ask Him to teach us tonight. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Your Word is perfect, Lord, even able to convert the soul. It is powerful. It is living, sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord, able to pierce down into the deepest depths of who we are, even into the marrow, Lord, of who we are. And is a discerner of the hearts of men. And so, Lord, with Your Word in our lap this evening, Lord, and open Bibles, we pray that we would have open hearts to receive Your Word, to receive Your Word in good soil tonight. So, Lord, would You teach us tonight, Lord, by Your Word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, please teach us and instruct us in Your Word tonight. As we commit this time to You, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Proverbs 2, dealing with wisdom, more importantly, godly wisdom, but we need to understand the two types of wisdom because there's one we want to stay away from, and that's worldly wisdom. So if you would put your marker there in Proverbs 2 or hold your place there, I'm going to turn to James chapter 3 so we can get a little bit of a definition of the two different types of wisdom because we're going to see both in the proverb tonight. So in James chapter 3, from verse 13 to verse 17, it states, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." James gives us a good definition here of these two wisdoms. And the worldly wisdom he describes to us is it's an earthly wisdom. It's carnal. It's fleshly. It's what the world says to do. That is worldly wisdom. We have doctors. We have leaders in our nation throughout the world that are acting on worldly wisdom, which is one of the reasons we're in the mess that we are in. Because worldly wisdom, carnal wisdom, James says this stuff is demonic. Why is it so demonic? Well, because for one thing, we know that a lot of this wisdom in the world exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we're warned about that in 1 Corinthians. We're warned about what happens when things in our life, whatever they may be, when they exalt themselves against God. God's given us divine weapons to pull down strongholds and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So anytime you see the world say something that goes against God and His Word, that is worldly, earthly, carnal wisdom. And it's what we want to avoid. It's what we want to avoid. And it's even demonic. Worldly wisdom is full of bitter envy. Bitter envy, as James describes it, it's not just being envious, which is bad. We do not want to be envious of anybody. But bitter envy is saying, I want what you have, and I don't want you to have it. So it's a very intense, blown up version of envy. It's, I want what you have, and I don't want you to have it. It's bitterness. There's a coldness in the envy. The worldly wisdom is self-seeking, consumed by self. We have a word in the dictionary, literally in the dictionary now, called selfie. It's just the last, 30 years, 40 years, it's gotten real bad. To be consumed with self, consumed with our image. What we look like, what do I drive? How much money do I make? It's like I, self-seeking on everything. This worldly wisdom is self-seeking, consumed by self. It's interesting that when Satan was kicked out of heaven, you remember what he said? I will ascend to the Most High. I will be like God. I. Me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this. And, you're out of heaven. And a third of the angels fell with him. Self-seeking, consumed by self. And worldly wisdom lies against what is true. This wisdom speaks only lies. And it always comes against what is true. That's why it's real hard to believe when you're on social media or you're watching television or you read a newspaper. It's really hard. You have to have discernment to know what is true and what is false. Yes, there's a lot of fake news because Satan knows his time is short. And he is spreading his wisdom, his earthly, fleshly, carnal wisdom throughout this world. And it's exalting itself against the knowledge of God and leading people astray from what is true. But then there is godly wisdom, which is mentioned here, that wisdom from above. And the first thing about godly wisdom we need to learn is it's pure. Wisdom from God is absolutely pure. It's undefiled. There is no fault in it. It is absolutely true. It is undefiled. It is pure. It is peaceable. It is gentle. It is willing to yield. Full of mercy and bearing of good fruits in our life. If you read in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, those are all imparted to us. That's all part of having godly wisdom. And we'll get into that in a little bit this evening. But those are the two types of wisdom available. There's nothing in between. You can't mix them, right? You can't mix light and darkness. You can't mix water and oil. You can't have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Being fed godly wisdom on Sunday and Wednesday and then being fed worldly wisdom the rest of the days of the week. Who gets more time to pour into you? And we're going to talk about that as well. So the two types of wisdom James describes there for us. But now we're going to get into this godly wisdom, how to find it, how to apply it, and some really good nuggets. So let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 2. God Godly wisdom is what we're dealing with here. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. I'll pause there for a moment. The first verse is the call to actively pursue godly wisdom. Receiving my words, being ready to receive God's word, being ready to receive what God has for us. And then she goes on to say, to treasure my commands within you. That is to place a desire for this wisdom, a desire to know what is right in the sight of God, a desire to know what is true according to God. None of us like to be lied to. None of us like to be deceived. We want to know what's true, what's real, what is true. And so we have to have this desire to treasure this godly wisdom. And that's what they describe here. Treasure my commands within you. Treasuring, to place value in, is to place value in. Just like treasure. Just like savings. Maybe you're saving up to buy something that you've been saving for a while. It's to put a value on that saving. It's to put a value on what you're desiring. And here it says we should desire wisdom. Check this out. Verse 2, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Now, incline, it describes inclining your ear. That word incline in the Hebrew is kashab, and it means to hearken, to give heed, to listen attentively, to focus, to listen. You know, we could hear a lot, but listening is different. Listening is paying attention. We want to pay attention and listen to wisdom. And apply your heart to understanding. We want to apply it to our heart. We have to have, again, we have to have hearts that desire to receive godly wisdom. And I believe we do. All of us do. We want to know, as I mentioned earlier, what is true, what is false. We want to know what's right, what's wrong. And we learn that through God's wisdom here. Apply your heart to understanding. And he says, yes, if you cry out for discernment, applying your heart. I forgot to tell you, the word apply in Hebrew is nata. It means to have full intent and to offer up, to be fully intentional and offering up your heart and applying your heart to understanding. Verse 3, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, the word crying out, if you cry out for discernment, the word is in Hebrew, kara. It means calling out to a specific source, knowing you're inquiring of the Lord. A specific source. It's not just crying out for anybody and everybody to hear, but you're making your prayers, you're asking, directing it to the Lord, fully intentional, fully offered up to the Lord with our hearts. We're crying out to Him, knowing we're crying out to Him. We're not just crying and hoping somebody somewhere hears us. We're crying out to the Lord. We cry out for discernment. Discernment is to be able to judge well. Where is this coming from? Is this something of God, or is this something of the enemy? Is this something my flesh is trying to do? To have that right judgment, to be just in the judgment, is to have discernment. So he says to cry out. Lift up your voice. Excuse me. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, again, having understanding to know what's happening. He says, lift up your voice. And in the Hebrew word, the word is nathan. It means to bring forth and surrender. Bring forth and surrender. It is good to ask what you were doing at church. You could say, nothing. Not much of a rise on that one. You lift up your voice, you bring forth, and you surrender to the Lord. He says here, if you seek, verse 4, her as silver. Now, her is describing wisdom. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. So we're to seek for her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. To seek for her in silver, seeking is a bakash. It means to strive after and promote something. And then searching for her as hidden treasures, that word is kafas, and it describes actually a military term. It's a term used in the military. It is to do reconnaissance. It is to go into like a fatigue or camo and do reconnaissance, searching for something. It's also a word that's used to describe miners as they're searching for gold, silver, and precious gems. And you might think, well, okay, so we're to search for her like somebody in the military doing a reconnaissance, or a miner searching for gems and jewels and gold, precious stones. Have you ever watched, there's a lot of shows on right now, but one of the things that's real popular is shows like Gold Rush. And there's all these different shows about these people that are seeking after gold, right? And they make it their whole life to go out and get this expensive equipment to try and find where's the gold. But these people will leave their homes with their family, sell everything they have. They will abandon everything they were doing in the world to go after gold. And while, of course, we know as believers, we never want to strive after riches like that. It's crazy to do that. But what I admire their desire and the willingness they put forth to go after that gold. Because we're told here that we are to search for wisdom as for hidden treasures. And we are to seek after God's wisdom in the same manner. Searching for her as hidden treasures. Like those crazy guys on the gold show. But we're searching for something that's truly precious and truly of worth. We're searching for God's wisdom. In those shows, the men give up everything and they just abandon it all. And if you've ever watched it, it's very intense because they've staked their whole life pretty much in hopes to find gold and you know, become rich. And a lot of times they don't find it and they get discouraged, they give up. But then when other times they do. But we should search the same way. We should have the same vigor that they do for that gold, for God's wisdom. We need godly wisdom, folks, like never before. The world is filled with lies. The enemy is spewing lies and fear across the nation, across the world right now, more so than ever before, because he knows his time is short. And he is trying to deceive as many as possible. And we are to have godly wisdom so we can avoid those traps that the enemy is setting. Now, our number one source for godly wisdom, our number one source is right here. This is where we discover godly wisdom. Through these pages, we find godly wisdom. But we can only apply it to our heart if we're applying God's word to our life. See, we're going to get into the knowledge and the wisdom here in a minute, but in understanding, you can hear the word of God and have some understanding about the word, but then you can walk away and not do it. That is not godly wisdom. Godly wisdom takes place when we apply God's word to our life and do what he tells us. That's when we start to have good fruits in our life, when we start to be obedient to what God's word says. The number one source is the word of God for godly wisdom, but we only receive godly wisdom when we obey what we read and what we hear. We must obey, be obedient to the word of God. And there are many blessings in searching after and seeking after the things of God and the wisdom of God. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those are the ones desiring, searching, seeking after the things of God. They will be filled. He doesn't say they might be filled. They may be filled. He says they will be filled. But are we seeking after God? If we only open the word on Sunday or Wednesday, we're not doing a good job of seeking after him. We need to open the word daily. We need to, folks, we need to dig into this right here like a hungry, starving gold miner looking for a nugget. We need to be all in searching the word of God and receiving the word of God, applying the word of God and walking it out. So the wisdom of God, there is plenty of it, but it comes at a price. We've got to be offered up completely to the Lord, completely surrendered, submitted unto him, ready to do his will. There's no other way. There's no other way to obtain this wisdom. But there is a promise, you will be filled. You will be filled if you hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God. You will be filled if you hunger and thirst for godly wisdom. God will pour out his wisdom. As James 1:5 tells us, if any of you lack of wisdom, ask of God who gives liberally without reproach. He says, but do this not doubting or wavering, but you do this by faith, trusting and believing. But God will give liberally wisdom if we ask. And don't try asking if you don't open the word. You have to have the word of God. You have to get it into your heart. You've got to get the word into you. A hunger for God's wisdom is what we need to have here. And that we would make it of the utmost priority in our lives. Digging into the word of God daily. This is where we find the godly wisdom, and we need to dig in and search after it. A couple questions we should ask ourselves. Are we making time for God's word each day? Are we making time to get into the word each and every day? Giving to his word, giving into time of prayer, giving into a time of devotion. Are we doing that daily? Because that's part of searching and seeking after God's and after his wisdom. Is daily seeking, daily reading. We need to give attention to this wonderful thing called wisdom that comes from God. He says in verse 5, he says, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It will be presented to you." I love that about the Lord. He always says, if you look for me, you'll find me. If you seek me, you know, I'll be found by you. God doesn't do like Adam and try to hide. It's not, God, where are you? No. We just need to seek after him and he'll be found. Check this out. There's a wonderful promise I'm sure you guys are familiar with out of Jeremiah 29:11. Many of us know that promise. It's a promise to hold on to. He said, the Lord says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. To give you a future and a hope. We love that promise. It's a beautiful promise from the Lord. But it goes on to say in verse 12, then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. It goes on to say, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Man, right there, that's a promise from God that if we are searching after him and seeking him, he will be found. God won't dare, he would never waste time, period, let alone waste your time. God's desire for you and for me is that we are truth seekers in his word, in prayer, in times of devotion, seeking after God together. And there is an abundance of this wisdom to be found for the devoted heart. There is. If how far do you want to take it? It's up to you. And that's the wonderful thing, is that the ball is in our court. How much do we want? How much godly wisdom do we want in our lives? How much of the Lord do we want in our lives? Because the more we seek him and the more we search after him, the more we get into the word, the more that we grow, the more grace is given, the more godly wisdom is given to our lives, and it just keeps going and going and going. Because the word of God is alive, it is living. And you could read this book from front to back 50 times. And go through it on number 51 and find all kinds of things you didn't see the other 50 times. Because the Word of God is alive. It's living. It is holy. It is pure. But sometimes this gets put on a bookshelf and comes out on Wednesday and Sunday. And there's so much to be found in here. R.C. Chapman, I'm not sure if you're familiar with who R.C. Chapman is. Very godly man. There's a book out called Agape Leadership, and it's lessons from the life of R.C. Chapman, just a godly man who loved the Lord. And I found this wonderful quote. R.C. Chapman said this about the Word of God. He said, there are mysteries of grace and love in every single page of the Bible. He says, and it is a thriving soul that finds the Word of God growing more and more precious. It is a thriving soul that finds the Word of God more and more precious. It's a beautiful quote. Do we find the Word of God more and more precious? Because like the hidden treasures in the first in verse 4, like the silver, hidden treasures and searching, is this precious to us? Is the Word of God precious to us? It should be. This is God speaking to you and me. This is where it goes beyond just wisdom. The Word of God is even able to convert the soul. The God's plan of salvation, the knowledge of the Holy One, the knowledge of Jesus Christ is placed in this wonderful book from front to back. It is God speaking to us. So if we want to hear from God, we need to get into the Word. We need to get into the Word daily. We need to listen to, as these last four verses, verse 2 through 4, listen, apply, cry out, lifting up our voice to the Lord, seeking after, searching after. What it tells us is we need to be proactive in our faith. We need to be moving. There are things we are required to do. You know, sheep are lazy enough as they are, but we don't need to be laying out in the green pastures and just, what is that called when they get thrown on their back and they can't get up? Cast sheep? We don't want to become cast sheep where we're just perfectly comfortable on our back, all fours up. We want to be proactive, get involved in church. Get involved in ministry. Get involved in men's prayer. Get involved in ladies' prayer. Get involved in these things. When the church doors open, come and get filled. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be filled. Come and be filled. Be proactive in your walk with the Lord. Or we could be like Peter and James, John, up on the Mount of Transfiguration, you know, just be like, it is good that we're here, Lord. Let's build some tabernacles and just hang out. No. We got work to do. We'll get into that in a moment. But we need to be proactive in our faith, continually moving, continually seeking after the things of God. Now, the proof in verse 5, where he says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. The proof that we are applying God's wisdom is found in the fear of the Lord and in the knowledge of who he is. Proverbs 9:10 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. In Proverbs 1:7, we're told that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So wisdom and knowledge from God go together. The knowledge of the Holy One, the knowledge of who God is, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who he is, why he came, what he did for us, the price he paid, the sacrifice, what he did on the cross, that he was buried, rose 3 days later, and is seated at the right hand of the Father and interceding for us now. The knowledge of that is wonderful. The wisdom is walking, believing that, believing exactly what God tells us. And so the proof is found. The proof of godly wisdom in our life is found in the fear of the Lord. And that fear is a reverent trust, by the way. It's not a spooky, scary, trembling fear, like something's about to happen bad. It's a reverent trust in holy God. Guys, there were prophets all through the Old Testament. Daniel. Daniel was a mighty man of God as a young man and as an old man. He was faithful to God. And when the angel of the Lord came, Daniel went face down. He went face down before the Lord in reverence of holy God. We need to have that reverence for God, to know that he is holy. And the way that our relationship is with him, how we treat the Lord and the things of God is going to dictate how much wisdom we're truly seeking after and how much wisdom we're walking in. We need to seek after him. We need to stay plugged in, gang. There's so much going on right now. And, you know, the enemy will tell you, you know, all kinds of lies on why you don't have to go to church, why you don't have to do this, why you don't have to do that. Okay, believe all those lies. But according to the Lord, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, the Lord says, hey, the wisdom of the world is foolishness to the Lord. It's foolishness. It is absolute foolishness. And yet so many people are consumed by worldly wisdom. Think about it, especially with what's been happening in the last couple years. There have been many, many, many lies. We have leadership that is completely saturated with worldly wisdom in our nation. The enemy has strongholds all over the place. Worldly wisdom. People are out there living in fear, living in panic, anxiety, depression, all those things. When godly wisdom is peaceable, we read earlier, according to James, it's peaceable, and there's good fruits there, willing to yield. It's true. But it's foolishness. The worldly wisdom is foolishness to God. And verse 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Interesting. Again, the knowledge of God is found right here in the Word of God. The wisdom of God is found when we apply it to our lives. Application. It's basic Bible college theology. Observation, interpretation, application of the Word of God. But if we stop just after observing and we don't apply it, we're missing out. We're missing out on the wisdom of God. Remember, knowledge is knowing what to do or what not to do. Wisdom is not doing that thing or doing what is right. Wisdom is acting on it. In verse 7 and 8 says that he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Interesting. A lot of benefits to walking in godly wisdom we see here. First, he stores up. That means that there is an unlimited abundance of godly wisdom available for us today. God is not short on resources. He has a limitless supply. How much do we want? How much of the Lord do we want in our lives? He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Interesting term there. Sound wisdom in the NLT is common sense. In the NLT version, he gives common sense to us. Something that's very much lacking today. Amen. Very much lacking. Common sense. The Lord gives that. Sound wisdom. And it's for the upright, the ones who are walking in integrity, walking with the Lord, walking in wisdom. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He's a shield to us. Verse 8, he guards the path of the justice, paths of justice, and preserves the way of his saints. I love that. When we're walking in godly wisdom and applying God's word to our life, he guards us, he protects us, he keeps us. And how does he do that? He does that when we apply his word. When God's word says, hey, don't go into this place where you're going to be tempted. We don't go into that place where we're going to be tempted. And so now we've been protected from what could have easily ensnared us and destroyed us. He tells us we are to have safeguards in our life. We are to put up safeguards to protect so the enemy won't even get a toehold in our lives. So don't go places where you shouldn't go. You know, when I first got saved, the first thing I did was went back to the very hood that I was messing around in. And next thing I know, I found myself in a room full of sinners. You got drugs going around and alcohol. And I'm thinking, what a horrible witness I am right now. I'm thinking, Jesus, help me. What am I doing here? And I learned a very hard lesson. There are certain places you don't go. Certain places you don't go. And I've learned that through the word of God and applying his word to my life. He shields us, he guards us, he protects us and keeps us. And he says, then in verse 9, you will understand. Then, when you do these things and you receive these things with the Lord, then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. You'll understand justice, have understanding, to know what's right, to know the value, the worth of something, the actual value. It's a term described in balancing of weights and weighing out products, their proper weights. You'll be able to balance and go, this is right, but this is not right. This is right, this is not right. The Lord says in Proverbs also that unfair scales are an abomination to him. God loves justice. He is just, and he is accurate in his justice. And we can have understanding. We can know this justice. We can know the value that is in every good path, to know its worth, to know that this is good for me. This is good. God is telling me to do this, and you'll know that this is good for me. I need to do it because he loves me. He would never lead me astray. To know the value in the good paths that God has for you. And folks, God has a path for each of us, a good path. According to Ephesians 2:10, what's it tell us? It tells us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has a good path for each and every one of us to walk. But it's up to us to walk that path. It's our decision. God gives us the free will to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow you. But he also gives us the opportunity to say, nope, I'm busy. We're going to see this Sunday, the Sunday I'll be sharing out of Luke 14 about making excuses. We are so good at making excuses. I don't care who you are. One thing we are good at is making an excuse. Way back 15 years ago, I had a truck. As soon as my friends discovered that I had a truck, hey, Ryan, I got this refrigerator I need to move. I got to pick up this couch. You know how many times I just made up an excuse why I couldn't? We can make an excuse at the drop of a dime. And we're good at it. We are good at it. We shouldn't be like that, but we are. Our natural man and woman still rise up, and we make time for things that are important. We make excuses for things that are not. It's the bottom line. If we make an excuse for why I don't spend time in the Word, I don't spend time in my devotional, or I'm tired, they're just excuses. If God's Word is true, and there is life-giving wisdom to be had that will bring us about to have fruit in our lives, good fruit. And we're told here in Proverbs 2 that we are to search after, seek after, to desire this, make the utmost priority of obtaining godly wisdom. We are told that, then we need to do that. We need to apply God's word to our life. Don't make excuses. Now you're not going to come Sunday. You'll be like, no way. I got too many excuses. But it's true. We can always find a reason not to. And when God calls us and he asks and tells us to do something, it's for our good. It's for our good. We can't really fathom this yet, but according to God's word, he desires to draw near to us even here in this messed up earth, this messed up world. He says that if you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. He wants to be super close and intimate with you, even here on earth. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience fellowship with God. We can have it right now. But if we're walking in the worldly ways and fleshed out and walking according to the world, we're missing out. We're missing out on so much good that God has for us. So much peace he wants to give us. So much restoration he wants to do in our life. Reconciling relationships, reconciling our past. That's who God is. But it's up to us to desire and to draw close to him. But all the promises, the many promises, that if we seek after him, he will be found. God doesn't leave us hanging ever. There are times he will ask us to wait. But even while we're waiting, he promises to strengthen us. So the point is, God never leaves you. He's got too much invested in you. He loves you far too much to leave you to your own. But we need to recognize that he's with us each and every day. And enjoy fellowship with God. Above all, enjoy the fellowship. He wants to be a part of every facet of our life. He wants to be a part of our marriages, our relationships, our friendships. He wants to be involved in our business dealings. He wants to be involved in everything we're doing in our life. One of the greatest things that God does for me is he shows me how to be a father. He shows me how to be a father. If you ask my wife or myself, we really didn't raise our kids. God did. He stepped in and did everything. Showed us when our kids were going astray. Showed us what they needed. It's always been the Lord. And every business deal, invite the Lord to be a part of it. In your friendships, in your relationships, whatever they may be, invite the Lord to be a part of it if you want the very best. Who doesn't want the best? Or if you're good with just being satisfied with, you know, the bottom shelf, when God has so much for you, but we need to seek after Him. And verse 9 tells us that we will understand righteousness and justice, and we will know the equity that is found in every good path. We will know the value in obeying God. Verse 10 and 11, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. Again, another promise from God here. When, he says, when wisdom enters your heart, that's when we start to apply God's word. We start to be obedient to God's word. We start to obey his commands. When we do that, when wisdom truly enters our heart, he says here, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, then discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. When we apply his knowledge, he will preserve and keep us. Discretion's a word not used much either these days. To be discreet. It will preserve us. In other words, we'll know where we're not to walk and where we're to go. There will be discretion in our lives. We will be discreet in our walking with the Lord. Being discreet in our dealings with others. We will be sure that we will have balanced weights in our dealings with others, in our business deals. We will be sure that in our marriages, that we will both give 100% for the glory of God, submitting unto one another. Why? Under the reverence of God, the holy fear for God. When wisdom enters your heart. Verse 12 says, to deliver you from the way of evil. Now, this is the purpose for all this wisdom and all he's told us that he protects us from. Now we're going to see there's another very important purpose to walking in the wisdom of God. Check this out, verse 12 through 15. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight, look at this, in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. One of the reasons for this wisdom is that we don't get caught up on the dark side, right? That we don't get caught up like Peter roasting his hands at the fire with the enemy. We don't get caught up in that nonsense. We hang out with God's people. That's who we fellowship with. We fellowship with believers. Yes, we go and hang out with the sinners to share the light, to share the gospel, to be a light. But fellowship is different than koinonia. It's the melting together. That fellowship we don't have with the world. In fact, 1 John makes it very clear that those who desire or have fellowship with the world do not walk in love. He protects us from these things. And I want to share with you out of Psalm 1, because, again, going to the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God, Psalm 1 describes us, this very thing we just mentioned from verse 12 to 15. Psalm 1 describes this. Look at this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the word of God. That's his delight. And in his law, God's law, He meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. He says, but the ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not so. They are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. He delivers us from the ungodly. He delivers us from being caught up in the things that are done in the dark. Very important, very important. Because we can end up like Peter, man. We can end up like Peter. An area we shouldn't be, hanging with some people we shouldn't be. And they're like, ain't you, man, I thought you were all about Jesus or something like that. Oh, no, man, no, I'm good. I'm good. I've seen it happen a lot. Walking in the wisdom of the Lord guards us from that. Guards us from that, guys. Delivers us. How important is God's word to the believer? It's a matter of life and death. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because narrow is a way that leads to life. Broad is the path of destruction. It leads to destruction. It's a matter of life and death, and not just for you. We'll get to that in a moment. But you have little followers in your life. You have a generation crying out right now, looking to you to see what's true and what's right. Folks, we all make disciples. We'll talk about that in a moment here as we get closer. Verse 16 through 19, also to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress, who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Isn't that sad? For her house leads down to death and her path to the dead. None who go to her return, period. Nor do they regain the paths of life. I'm going to pause there for a moment. The seductress. Leading us from the path, delivering us from the path of this seductress. Now, certainly here, speaking of sexual immorality, but let me tell you this, guys. Those paths lead to a lot of other things that are just as bad. It could be the seductress, or if it's a guy, the seductor. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be depression. It could be fear. There are all types of things that you can find on that wide, wide road that leads to death. I've had more brothers than I'd like to count that knew the Lord but just kept going back. And God takes them out. He brings them home. They weren't taking heed to God's word. They loved the Lord, but they struggled with falling off the path and getting led astray. And a lot of times it's because this was void in their life. This wasn't a priority each day. Digging into God's word, when it's not a priority, watch out. Watch out. It's just a matter of time before something's going to lead your heart astray. It doesn't have to be a seductress. As I said earlier, it can be a lot of other things. Bad fruits. We talked about good fruits, bad fruits. There are bad fruits out there too. None who go to her return. They do not pass go. They do not collect 200. They're done. They're done. Finished. Tetelestai. No more. They have been led down to the path of death. They will not return. So, as I mentioned earlier, how important is God's word to the believer? It is a matter of life and death, absolutely. Moving on, verse 20. tells us, so you may walk in the way of goodness and keep the paths of righteousness. This is the path that God desires for us to be on. Goodness, righteousness. The blessing of knowing we're walking on the path that God has for us. To know that you're walking in the will of God. That in itself is such a blessing. You don't have to look over your back, see what happened. You don't have to cover up any lies. You're walking with the Lord. He knows everything about you. You're walking transparent with him. And that's a great feeling, to just be able to enjoy the Lord and not worry about what you're hiding or harboring. In verse 21 and 22, two polar opposites here. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Verse 21 reminds us the blessedness of eternal life. Verse 22 warns us the consequences of eternal death. We need to we're choosing life or death. Each and every day, we have a choice to make. Is God's word going to be a priority in our life? And are we going to apply it? Not just read it, which is good, but we need to apply it. That's where the wisdom is found, applying God's word to our life. I mentioned earlier, one of the things we want to be mindful of is our walk doesn't just affect us with the Lord, but our walk affects our loved ones. Our walk affects our children by the choices we make. We have children watching us. We have a generation that is lost and dying out there. They are watching you to see how you respond. They are watching you to see what a Christian looks like. Looking for hope. So when we go astray, when we don't obey the word of God, it doesn't just affect us. If God is, his word is not of importance, if church is not important, if fellowship is not important, if prayer is not important, you can expect that the loved ones watching you are going to follow suit. Right? We make disciples of ourselves. We do. It is so important. If we want to see a generation rise up and proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ boldly and unashamed, then we need to live our life in the same manner. We need to show, hey, the Lord is important to me. I love the Lord. We need to show that. We need to set an example of what a Christian man and a Christian woman look like to a lost and dying world. Because we do make disciples. When others follow us, and they will, be sure to be on the narrow path leading to life. We can't say enough on how important that is. Stay on the narrow path, and it's right here. God tells us what is right, what to do, but we need to apply it. He wouldn't force us to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful proverb. We thank you, Lord, that you have an abundance of wisdom to give to us. And Lord, as you tell us in your word, Lord, we ask right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, we ask for wisdom, God. We ask for wisdom in raising our children. We ask for wisdom in running our businesses, in our dealings in those businesses. Lord, we ask for wisdom for our families, God. We ask for wisdom here in the church, in the midst of the congregation. Lord, we cry out to you, Lord. Please give us wisdom. We need your wisdom, Lord. Remove the things in our life that are promoting worldly wisdom. Remove them, God. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you, Lord. Teach us. Train us. Raise us up, Lord, to be men and women after you, with hearts that desire more and more of you and more of your word. We love you and we thank you for this evening, Lord. As we worship you this evening together, we give you praise. Lord, you're so good to us. Help us to apply what we've learned tonight, please. Give us the strength to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's